जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर्धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर्धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gokulananda, verse number 11. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhadeva, text number 11. This is in prose. Techahi arvak tanaya nijalok yatrandha paramparayashvatas tamasi andhe swayam eva prapatishyanti. Translation: low class people, due to their gross ignorance, introduce a system of religion that deviates from the Vedic principles. Following their own mental concoctions, they automatically fall down into the darkest regions of existence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this connection, one may see Bhagavad Gita chapter 16, where there is a description of the downfall of the Asuras. 16th chapter, text 16 and 23. I'm going to continue the next verse, text number 12. In this age of Kali, people are overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Lord Rishabhadeva incarnated himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Purport. The symptoms of Kali Yuga are predicted in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lavanyam Keshadharanam. It is indicated how fallen souls will behave. They will keep their hair long and consider themselves very beautiful. Or they will pluck out their hair as the Jains do. They will keep themselves unclean and will not wash their mouths. Jains refer to Lord Rishabhadeva as their original preceptor. If such people are serious followers of Rishabhadeva, they must also take his instructions. In the 5th chapter of this canto, Rishabhadeva gave his 100 sons instructions whereby they could become free from the clutches of Maya. If one actually follows Rishabhadeva, he will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya and return home back to Godhead. If one strictly follows the instructions of Rishabhadeva given in the 5th chapter, he will certainly be liberated. Lord Rishabhadeva incarnated specifically to deliver these fallen souls. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakhaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. If you don't mind, may I have a Bhagavad Gita? This is Shukadeva Goswami, thank you. Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit about the deviation from religious principles that were introduced after Lord Rishabhadeva. Now one might say, what is such a big thing about deviation? Deviations have their consequences. So one should be very careful. Vedic principle, the Vedic system, is very precise, and generally it's said that it's a sensitive system. In physics or engineering, we use the term sensitive. It means for a small change in input, the change in output is very big. That's called a sensitive system. So, the Vedic system is very sensitive. If there is a small change in standard, if there's a small change in discrepancy in following the previous acharya's instructions, then the outcomes are very big changes. So Srila Prabhupada always warned us, don't change things. He said, your Western disease is that you always want to change it. You're always looking for new and improved. And we see that throughout all religious systems, people try to make their teachings relevant to the modern day. And they struggle. When you have a religious system that is not based on spiritual principles, you have to keep renewing it to make it contemporary enough. Otherwise, people cannot follow it. So there are some persons, some scholars who've gotten together to revise the Bible. And their whole system of revision is a little funny. Because, you know, how do people recognize a scholar? His first basic principle is that he should disagree with all other scholars. Disagree with all other scholars. And therefore he should give something new and different. Only then he is called a scholar. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada calls him Muni. They don't like to follow status quo. Everything has to be new that they have introduced. New theory, new perspectives. So when scholars get together to get to agree with each other is like more, in fact, Krishna prema is easier. So the scholars get together and they devise a system by which they will revise the Bible. So they came up with a point system. Each scholar was given a few red coins, yellow coins, and green coins or pins. And they would go verse by verse in the Bible. So they would read a verse and they would say, "Ha, how do we revise this?" Then one scholar presented a revised version of the verse. And all the scholars who agreed, they would hold up their green pin. Some who had a little doubt would show up their blue pin, yellow pin. And those who disagreed would show up the red pin. They would have a red dot, or however, they would mark their vote. And like that, they would see wherever there's a majority of green, that's passed. Where there's a majority of red, we'll have to revise it now, like that. And what happens at the end of it is whatever is the Bible has got nothing to do with Jesus' teachings. It is just a revised version that scholars agree upon. So deviations are very scary. In fact, even Krishna talks about it in the Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sa kaleneha mahata yoganashta parantapa. A deviation, quite directly for us, means that the connection with Krishna is either weakened or broken. That's what a deviation does. And when the connection is broken, it doesn't matter how much water we pour. Suppose we cut off a tree in its trunk and then bring it and keep it here. There is no root. Keep watering. It's not going to help because it's not connected to its root. How much ever one follows a so-called system, if it is not connected to Krishna, if it is not connected to God, it doesn't matter. One will not feel nourished. One may be following it very sincerely, still will not be. Therefore, the best principle to make sure that it is very sacredly reserved or sacredly preserved, is the principles of tat tat karma pravartanat sangatyaga satovrite. These three things help preserve the parampara and help us remain connected to the parampara. Because one may be very utsaha, very enthusiastic, but if he doesn't follow tat tat karma. Therefore, devotional service is all about following activities as prescribed by Shastra, as prescribed by the Acharyas and Guru. Then there is bhakti prasiditi, there is some nourishment in bhakti. Tat tat karma. And these activities, the regulative principles of bhakti, are already identified. We don't have to create new ones. Are four regulative principles really sufficient? Should we make them six? Would people be more impressed if there were six regulative principles instead of four? Or are four very difficult? Should we make them 3.5? Or 2.5? Or 3 maybe? Because 4 is a little too difficult for everyone. Should we have regulative principles at all? I mean, like that. With no need to change anything. Prabhupada has given, and we follow that. To keep ourselves, what's called bhakti prasidyati, the nourishment of our bhakti happens. And to follow that tat karma, to know how to act within the regulative principles of bhakti, which are not just four, there are many, we need to do what's called satovrate. Look at the lives of the previous acharyas and follow their example, how they have set perfect examples to follow. Then we protect ourselves against yoga nashta. Another feature is guidance. To seek guidance on every aspect of life is an important, is a very protective way. That way we make sure that unknowingly or unintentionally we are not creating or deviating from what might be the right way of applying ourselves in bhakti. And that's very important. Otherwise, this is what's happening. Low-class people. Low-class means those who are not guided by brahmanas, or those who are not brahmanas, they are called low-class. That means they don't apply themselves to the apaurusheya teachings. They consider that what has come from their imagination, their sense of creativity, is what is applicable, is what is true. That is called low class. Low class thinking means individual creativity. High class thinking means creativity that is aligned to Krishna's teachings. There is room for creativity. It's not that everything is already thought about and there is nothing for us to think, be creative about. We're just little machines that have to, you know, serve Krishna. No. There is room for so much creativity within service to Krishna or within the boundaries of what is permissible or what is defined as bhakti. Everything has a boundary. The material world has a boundary. And although spiritual world is boundaryless, within that also there are boundaries of rasas. So there is unlimited capacity for being creative as long as one doesn't deviate from the principles of bhakti. Prabhupada says, in this connection we may see how the asuras behave in chapter 16, texts 16 and 23. And this is a nice way of describing. Krishna says, Aneka chitta vibhranta moha jala samavrataha prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narake ashuchau. Vibhranta means very, very perplexed. Aneka chitta. Numerous anxieties. One is perplexed by numerous anxieties. Mohajala falls into a massive network of illusion. Prasaktaha kama bhogeshu. He is completely attached. In Sanskrit, wherever the word pra is used as a suffix, it is to give superlative intensity. Prakrishta rupena. Asakta means attached. Prasakta means very, very, very attached. What is he very, very attached to? Kama bhogeshu, to sense gratification. Such persons, patanti narake, and he's ashuchav. Ashuchav is unclean. The unclean thought, in the context of this discussion, is to deviate from the teachings of bhakti or the teachings of the previous acharyas or the incarnations of the Lord. The destination is terrible. And 16:23, Krishna says, Yeha Shastra Vidhim Utsarajya, one who neglects or is careless about Shastra Vidhi, the way scripture tells us to do certain things. In fact, scripture tells us to do everything. Yaha Shastra Vidhim Utsarajya Vartate Kamakarata. Kamakarata means whimsical behavior. Sana Siddhim Avapnoti. Such a person cannot get any perfection in whatever they do. Na Sukham Na Paramgatim. Nor happiness, nor the ultimate destination. Whimsical behavior comes because of uncontrolled senses, uncontrolled mind. Even if one has good intention, it is still considered whimsical behavior. Because good intentions without proper guidance will not be really good intention. It may be good only within certain frame of reference. So to be genuinely good, the intentions have to be within the purview of scripture. And even within the purview of scripture, as guided by the spiritual master and sadhus. Otherwise, serious deviations from Vedic principles will manifest. Then although the new principles, the newfound principles may be convenient, or what people will like, or they may be popular, people will not feel happy. People will not feel spiritually nourished. They will remain within the purview of the anxieties of life. They will remain within passion and ignorance, maybe even goodness to some extent. Like there are some personalities who, in the history of humanity, have created sub-religious principles or completely irreligious principles. They created their own philosophies. Why should you follow God? There is no God. You can create your own. There was a time when Srila Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples, and one such philosopher, they were discussing, Prabhupada was poking holes in that personality's, I guess, logic or mentality. So Prabhupada asked, what is he saying? He said, oh Prabhupada, this person mentions that there is no need to follow God. There is no need for a guru. Divinity exists in your own heart. And only you need to search for your own self. You don't need the help of a guru. You don't need anyone. And Prabhupada said, look at that. He is telling everyone, you don't need a guru. But he wants to guide everyone. This is rascaldom. What else does he say? He's written a new book, Srila Prabhupada. What does his book say? His book says, you don't need to read any books. What is the use of reading? What is the use of... Because you don't need books for these things. Spiritual life means your own search. And Prabhupada said, and he wrote a book to tell others that you don't need to read books, and he wants everyone to read his books. This is rascaldom. Now where does it say? Where does it say that one should not study scripture? According to scripture, one should study, one should hear from a guru. In fact, the whole of Vedic knowledge is based on tad vijnanartham so gurum eva abhigachet. Without guru, one cannot get knowledge. It's impossible. Even if Paramatma is sitting in the heart, is not accessible without the medium of a guru. Even if people read here and there, yesterday I was reading something about Vedic knowledge. And very nice analogies used. It was about mantras. So one may receive a mantra from a guru, and that allows for, that's the right way for the mantra to fully manifest in the consciousness of the receiver. However, we receive mantras, or we see mantras all over the place. The Gayatri mantra, is, you know, the Brahma Gayatri is famous everywhere in India. Everybody recites it, all children. In fact, they think that that is the yoga mantra. It's all over, that blasting on the TV, all here, there, you know, professional singers are chanting it. Om Bhur Bhu, everything, the whole thing. And everybody, many people recite that also. Oh, Brahma Gayatri, Gayatri Mantra. So it's described that that recitation again and again, even hundreds of times, will not bring any effect. Will not bring any effect. Just as if you get a banyan seed, you put the seed into the ground, you can pour water, you can do anything, it will not sprout. Banyan tree will not come if we just plant a seed. In fact, a banyan tree only manifests apparently when a sparrow will eat the fruit, and pass the seed out a stool. Only then the banyan tree manifests. Something about the sparrow going through its digestive system. Similarly, mantra will only sprout in the heart after it has been passed through the lips of a guru, Sadguru. Otherwise it will not have effect. So such principles where one doesn't need a guru, one doesn't need a teacher, is complete bogus. One needs. Otherwise the deviations are very, very significant. The significant deviation is one will not feel connected to Krishna. And the greatest loss for human life is to not feel connected to Krishna. This is the greatest loss. One may be successful in everything else, but according to Rishabhadev, Prabhupada is telling us back again, if one is really a follower of Rishabhadev, one should follow his teachings. And right in the beginning of his teachings, he says, Parabhavastavadabhodajata yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam yavat kriya tavadidam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandha. So these deviators, although they may create new philosophies or new ideas, their followers and they themselves will be sharira bandha, they will be bound to another body. In fact, these pseudo-religionists cannot do anything for uplifting their followers. In fact, they make their followers so dependent on them that when they leave, all of their followers are lost. They don't know what to do. They make their dependents so misguided that they very sincerely, with full fervor, follow the pseudo-spiritualist and go to where he is going. And his destination is a really, really very dark place. So all his followers go to a very dark place. Yanti deva vrata devan pitran yanti pitran vrata bhutani yanti bhutejya madhya jino pimam. And they also sing bhajans. In fact, they create also new bhajans. They concoct bhajans. And their followers sing very nicely all those bhajans without knowing the meaning, without understanding what they are singing. So one should be very careful. Now for us, the careful, we're not following pseudo-religionists, but we should be careful to not deviate from Prabhupada's teachings. We should be careful to be, here the words used, strict followers. Strict followers indicate for us that we are fully chaste, that we are in high fidelity to Prabhupada's teachings. And for that we should know what the teachings are. So we have to hear carefully. Otherwise, we will not be free from the clutches of Maya. And here he is saying, Lord Rishabh, they have incarnated himself to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. So in Kali Yuga, the clutch of Maya is very, very strong. And one of the indicators of that strong sense of clutch of Maya is people want freedom. Or people want independent thought. They like to be independent. Independent-minded. And they challenge anything that's called authority. They challenge everything that's already established. They don't like it. They want to create their own. That tendency, that mentality seeps through very, very strongly in Kali Yuga. In Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara, although it's progressive in that direction, the instances of such persons is rare and it's very big. But by the time Kali Yuga manifests, everybody is like that. The rarity is someone who says, oh, I want to follow previous acharyas. What? Are you crazy? What happened to your independent thought? Why would you not think for your own? Why don't you challenge status quo? Etc. You should challenge. You shouldn't take anything for granted. What is all this? Find out for your own self. All that may be okay, but the conclusion that one should come to is that the real intelligence is in following Vedic authority. This is when we know that our intelligence is perfectly sane, that it is working. When we can come to the conclusion, it is better to follow Vedic authority. This is when intelligence is perfectly working. When intelligence is imperfectly working, the conclusion that one comes to is, no need to follow any authority. Be your own authority. And in Kali Yuga time, that imperfect intelligence is given most credit. It's encouraged. In fact, such persons become emblems of leadership, modern thought, etc. Because everything is upside down. Prabhupada says, topsy-turvy. So deviation from Vedic authority is very, very risky and highly dangerous. So it becomes a responsibility of every member of the Vedic paradigm to preserve it, to first absorb it carefully and to preserve it carefully. Otherwise, unbeknownst, one might be the new arhat, Maharaj arhat, creates a completely different system in the name of religion or religious principles. Okay. Any thoughts, comments? Yeah.
Prabhu, we can see many arhat in the ISKCON also, the divided the communities. So how to be aware of those people and strictly follow our acharyas, because we might get bewildered certain time following those arhats.
We see many arhats in ISKCON also. Huh? Since we are not either followers of Lord Parashuram or followers of Kalki Avatar, our challenge is not to go finish off all the arhats in ISKCON. Okay, so because you asked such a question, I have to make sure I say a thing. So, how to save? I would say that the best way is to learn what are Prabhupada's teachings carefully. To learn them. That means to hear from those who have been serving Prabhupada very closely, to know that, to hear from them nicely. To study Prabhupada's books nicely. And be very, very, like a very conscious thought is that let me not be the cause for creating any deviation in my own life. And if someone says something that doesn't seem infidelity with Prabhupada's teachings, then we go verify. I heard something like this. First is to ask the person, what does this mean? I'm not understanding. My understanding means like this. Can you explain? Even after that, we can go to someone else who knows properly what is Prabhupada's teachings and get it clarified from them. Hearing makes it worse. Remember, just hearing something doesn't contaminate the consciousness. It depends on the proclivity of our own consciousness. Okay? I heard something sweet, so I'll share with you. Consider the scenario. Nalakuvera and Manigriva are frolicking naked in the Manasarovar Lake in Kailash Mountain. And here comes Srila Narada Muni. Okay. And what was Narada's consciousness when he saw that? He said, oh, what a fallen fellow. What a fallen fellows. How can I help them? If Shukadeva Goswami were to come there, he would be indifferent. He probably would not even notice anything. Because this described in the previous, girls were bathing naked. Shukadeva Goswami didn't even notice. He just walked by. He was just indifferent to everything. If Ajamila saw it, what would he do? His mind would be working on, when Nalakuvera and Manigriva leave, I will jump in. Because that's what he did. He pursued the prostitute. If Ravana were there, what would he do? He would push out Nalakuvera and Manigriva, and he jumped, because that's what he did to Nalakuvera's wife. So it depends on the proclivity of our consciousness. You understand? That's what makes us very attracted to deviation or not. So our everyday investment is to not be inclined this way, but be inclined towards Srila Narada Muni and our acharyas. That's our fidelity. So even if we hear something that is completely out of line, we are to build sufficient Krishna conscious strength to not get, oh really? And if we don't have that, which most likely we don't, then we immediately bring that whatever we have heard or that's bothering us or it seems like arhat-like, whatever is, to the right person, our spiritual master or spiritual guides, and clarify it and rebuild our consciousness from that vibration. Sometimes we think, why should I bother the spiritual master? He's very busy. We shouldn't think like that. That is wrong thinking. Yes, spiritual master is busy. But he has already he has accepted the service of giving guidance. Correct? Then if he is busy, that is his problem between him and Krishna. We should go to spiritual master. We should go and take guidance from other devotees. Just so that I guess, vibration is subsided. Otherwise it will grow. This is what Ajamila's problem was. While he was fighting the thought, he was also investing in it. And so it grew and grew and grew and grew. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
You were mentioning about the importance of tat-tat karma pravartana.
Yeah.
I had a question about that. I was wondering when one of the important factors of tat-tat karma pravartana is chanting the holy name of Krishna, of course.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could maybe explain about the relationship between weakness and chanting and deviation. Because it's been my experience, and I think Gokulananda Prabhu also was speaking about this the other day,
right.
That there seems to be a direct correlation between weakness in our chant. And then I was specifically wanting to know about the aspect of oftentimes as newer devotees, practitioners, we think, well, this is just the stage that I'm at. And therefore, it kind of softens the blow in our heart that our chanting is actually completely weak and absurd. And because that's just where I'm at, and when I gradually make progress through years and years and years, then I'll get better. So I was kind of wanting to know how much should we be alarmed when our chanting is, you know, weak, and in terms of deviating from the prescribed method.
In any system, there is what's called a dashboard, some way by which it indicates what's going on. In a car, you have a speedometer, a fuel gauge, all of the heat that's showing us what's happening in the car. And these are important. Similarly, in our, I guess, bhakti, the greatest indicator is our chanting. It is not only the indicator, it's also the fuel, but it indicates. How we chant our japa is an indicator of what's happening. Now, Lord Chaitanya did say, Durdaivam idrisham iha janina anuragaha. And sometimes people take shelter of that verse in a wrong way. That I have no taste, so what to do? Let me not do anything to cultivate taste. Durdaiva. That's complacency. What to do? We very conveniently shift between neophyte and madhyama according to what we like. When we meet someone and we have to preach to them, we preach like a madhyama. But when our own chanting us, what to do? I'm a neophyte. What to do? I'm a neophyte. What to do? I'm in my fallen condition. Like we profess our question also in my fallen condition. So that just in case someone gives an answer, it's not too difficult to follow. Like, oh, in my fallen condition. So chanting of Hare Krishna is the life of a devotee. In fact, we do anything and everything just to be able to chant Hare Krishna properly. And when we don't chant Hare Krishna properly, then The risk we should be aware of is, I'll be very vulnerable to the modes of nature today or regularly or whatever. At the same time, it's not like when we chant Hare Krishna, Lord Krishna is dancing in our consciousness or in our tongue. Nice if that happens, but it's not expected. What's expected is that we sincerely follow the chanting of our 16 rounds and to the best of our ability, bring our consciousness to the sound vibration. Krishna looks at that. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya look at that. And they protect us. Otherwise, anything, we won't even recognize that what we are saying or doing is such a deviation. We won't even recognize it. One of the qualities of ignorance is lack of awareness. Or we emphasize something instead of the true religious principles. Meaning for somebody who, let's say, is in distress, instead of emphasizing somehow or the other to take shelter in Krishna, even if it's a difficult instruction to follow, we may follow some sub-religious thing. Of course, I don't want to say something without qualifying it. In some cases, that may be necessary. But the person must be told, shelter of Krishna, because you cannot take that something right now. But you should always remember, shelter of Krishna is the only solution. Otherwise, then we become another, or whatever person might say or do, becomes at best religious, looks sattvic. And Krishna suddenly, or over time, just becomes this phantom figure. But for a bhakta, Krishna is very, supposed to be very tangible through the chanting of the holy name. In fact, that's what we are taught. Doesn't matter whether we appreciate Sri Vigraha or not. Doesn't matter whether we can even fit in our minds what Krishna looks like or who. Our whole thing of connecting to Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. That's our only connection. So it's very, very, in fact, that's the only principle. Everything is being taught just to chant Hare Krishna carefully. You know, why do we do Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Jivva Udara Upastha Vega? Why? Why to control these things? There's only for one reason, to be able to chant Hare Krishna. The six things to be aware of that will hurt our bhakti. Why? So we can chant. Like that. It's the most important. It's the life of a devotee. And discrepancy in that is the discrepancy in the rest of life. So any problems one is facing, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, of course, the solution is always to somehow chant Hare Krishna. That adjusts everything else. Yeah? It is the life. Let's take what's here and then we'll go to internet question. But Glenn?
Could you please speak a little bit about chanting at all times?
Well, that's the instruction, to chant always. And each person has a different state of realization and strength to do so. So Haridas Thakur was chanting all the time. And when he was conversing also, it was about Krishna, so that's considered chanting. Glorifying the Vaishnavas, that is also considered part of Kirtana. To chant always, for Kirtanam to manifest, There has to be Shravanam. Without Shravanam, Kirtanam cannot manifest. True? If we never heard, what would we say? So our acharyas explained that to come to the stage of full Kirtanam, all the time chanting, Sada Hari, there is proper hearing. And quality of chanting Hare Krishna manifests Kirtanam on a wider scale. Or Kirtanam on a wider scale means talking about the forms of understanding and discussing the form, activities, qualities of Krishna, all of that. But it comes from proper chanting. And proper conception of chanting comes from proper hearing. Devotees who hear nicely most likely will chant nicely. And devotees who don't hear nicely, they can't chant nicely. It's very difficult. Like even in Kirtan, right? If the leader is singing something and we are not hearing properly, we can't sing. It's not just following the tune. That's not it. Tune people can follow. But one's not hearing properly, so one doesn't connect with the sound vibration. Right? Jai Jagannath Prabhu and I laugh about it. Suddenly in the middle of Kirtan, space out happens. Like that, just... And it's in the middle of a conversation. The only time when that doesn't happen is when there's prasadam in front of us. That's the only time when our attention is like very full on. In fact, we don't hear anyone speaking to us also. Haribol Prabhu, we're only hearing the sound of chewing and nothing else. That's when our concentration is like perfect. 30 seconds later, it's gone. So hearing is important for chanting. Yeah.
So thanks for explaining the importance of following Sadhguru and approaching him for questions. So one question I have is, when should we ask questions to a guru? There's a Maharaj who says that sometimes devotees approach gurus when they have health problems as if the guru is a doctor. I mean, the better thing would be to just approach a doctor. Why should you tell that to a guru? The only thing is sometimes the way medical science is, acknowledging that even devotees go to modern medicine, it's sometimes very... It sees things in a different way and explains things in a different way. And even among different medical fields, there are contradictions. So, if someone is having health problems, either physically or emotionally or mentally, I mean, I found it curious that you just said in the previous question, just chant, everything will be all right.
No, I didn't say like that. That's not what I said. One who asks questions pertinent to one's bhakti, those are proper questions. If one doesn't ask any question of the guru, Sadguru becomes sad guru. It's like no one's asking, well, what's going on? So even in, let's say, bad health, the question to ask a guru is, how may I see my relationship with Krishna in this situation? That's the question to ask, not which medicine should I take. One may be in financial distress, physical distress, mental distress, emotional distress. Of course, spiritual distress is a given. How do I see my relationship with Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? What way can I serve Krishna in this situation? That's what needs to be asked. That's the right question. And if our consciousness is really elevated, then someone like Parikshit Maharaj will ask, what is beneficial for everyone? That's what he says. Oh, your question is Bhavadbir Lokamangalam. Even at your time of your death, you're thinking about the benefit of others. Okay, well, we're not going to be beaten up because we didn't ask such a question. We can ask, what is my own mangala? Like, oh, how can I benefit myself in my relationship with Krishna in this situation? That's the question to ask. Yes, each person's faith. No, the standard is you follow according to your faith. Because if you do something outside of the standard of your faith, we'll hurt ourselves. Suppose I don't have that faith that only by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be taken care of. Why suppose? Let's take it for granted, it's not there. I'll hurt myself. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur cautions one to not do so. Act according to faith and let faith develop from there on. But one should accept that I don't have complete faith. I have faith in Krishna, I have faith in the holy name. I may have to make some, you know, take something just for the help, helping something, and that's fine. But going to a doctor doesn't deviate from spiritual principles. Going to a doctor to fix something in the body doesn't deviate one from spiritual principles. It doesn't mean that now they lose faith in Krishna suddenly. Whether that evidence is true or not, at that point in time, we're putting some faith in that evidence, right? Or some people will not put any faith at all. Oh, this is, I can't put faith in this. So then they will look for something where they can put their faith. This system or that system. Suppose they're in an accident and you know, something breaks and they need surgery. Now, there are persons who don't even need that. Just because what Jagannath Das Babaji told his servant, Bihari Lal, where are you going? I'm going to beg for food so that I can cook something for you. No need. Just sit here and chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will take care of everything. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. The villagers came and gave whatever. He said, see, I told you. Bihari Lal was sick with high fever. He put a tulsi leaf in his mouth and told him to chant Hare Krishna. Fever went away. If you have that faith, fantastic. For some persons, a little Tylenol might help. To move about, and so they take that. But that doesn't deviate my faith in Krishna, just because now I've taken Tylenol. Who's more powerful, Krishna or Tylenol? Right? There's a verse, there's a verse in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, in Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, that parents, they may do everything for a child, but yet they cannot protect the child. Medicine is designed. Where is the intelligence for medicine coming from? Krishna only. Yet, it's not necessary that one who has access to medicine will have life. And one who has access to a boat will cross through an ocean. Unless the mercy factor is not there. Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narasimha Dev like that. That your mercy supersedes everything else. And within your mercy, I might do this and that, but that's it. I'm dependent on your mercy. Correct. Parents may take care of a child, but without Krishna's mercy, what can they do? Like that. So it may be this system of medicine, it may be that solution, but one tries to seek Krishna's mercy through that. Internet question. Who's asking?
Himanshu Prabhu.
Oh.
He told me to ignore the question, but I also have the same question.
We usually ignore Himanshu, so let's ask the question.
So, how do you distinguish between a deviation versus a logical improvement? For example, in Prabhupada's times, we had sannyasis in their 20s. For many reasons, that policy was altered.
Okay, good question. Can you repeat the question?
Well, basically, how do you distinguish a deviation from a logical improvement? As an example, he's giving that Srila Prabhupada was giving sannyas to young people, but now he's not doing that.
Adjustments in details are okay, according to what our favorite desha kala patra, time, place, and person or circumstance. People use this as a fantastic excuse for any changes. Desha kala patra. Desha means place, kala means time, patra means vessel or person. According to these, one can make adjustments. Yet, the adjustment is not in principle. The adjustment can be in detail. So there we can have this question. Prabhupada initiated women in the West with Brahman Diksha and they are on the altar. But in India, most people will like have a heart attack because that's a deviation from Vedic principle. Yeah, Prabhupada said, well, we're preaching to Westerners and how can we not give them? So, the principle is preaching, the spreading of Krishna consciousness is more important. So, there is Smartha rules, and then there are the acharyas who know how to apply. For example, Narada Muni gave Ratnakar to chant the name of Lord Ramachandra in rivers. There was no mantra like that. It's not even Vedic. But he knew. For this person, whether he chants in rivers, because the principle is to chant Krishna's name, and the principle is whether you chant it in rivers or straight, the efficacy is still there. That's a higher principle. So one should rely on, one should either be an acharya, and in case we unfortunately are not, then we rely on the previous acharyas. And we rely on higher authority. Is this a deviation? I've always heard that there are two ways of passing an exam. One is you very carefully avoid an F. And the other is you shoot for the A. So if we carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings, then we don't have to worry, am I deviating? And if one is too worried, am I deviating? Then we should be aware that we are already on the borderline of deviation, because that's where we're worried about. Have I failed? So, follow carefully. I mean, following carefully is not easy. It's not at all easy. Because one of the things is that we are servants of our minds. And the mind is a cruel master that caresses us nicely, whispers sweet nothings into our ears, and quietly takes us outside the boundary line. And we say, oh yeah, yeah, very nice. And says, no, don't worry, you keep chanting your Hare Krishna, just walk with me. And before we realize, we're like, whoa, where are we? Because this is crazy. So then that's why this whole chapter was, do not put faith in the mind. And one way to not put faith in the mind is to check with higher authorities. And it may be very silly details in the beginning. It's okay. Very silly details is okay. In the beginning. As we learn, then we'll become a better understander of, oh, that's how these principles work. So in Krishna consciousness, we should learn the principles. What principle is being taught? As we study Prabhupada's books, or we hear from our spiritual masters, we understand what principle is being spoken about. And so sometimes spiritual masters don't give details. Some do, some don't. So we can learn what the principles are. And if we have a doubt, we should ask, what is the principle? I didn't get it. What's the principle that I'm being taught here? Like that. Since Himanshu is not here for a follow-up, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande.